Today's Old Testament reading is from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 2 and 6 through 14. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you live and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went down together to Bethel. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River." But again Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them went across on dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away." And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor." "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah replied. "If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't." As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel." And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak and cried out, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Then the river divided, and Elisha went across.
Right. Do we have anybody else that wants to come up here and join us? Good morning. I have some things in this basket. Do you know what category this belongs to? What types of things are in this basket? Yes. Fruit. So, do we all know what this is?
Lemon.
Just holler it out. Ooh, this is... Do you know? It's fuzzy. Does that help?
Peach.
Yep. I bet you know what this one is.
Strawberry.
Yes. Pears. Like pears.
Bananas.
Oh, yeah. You love bananas? I love bananas, too. Orange. Ooh, these are cute. But they looked yummy when I found them on the internet. Oh, you know this one.
Apple.
Very healthy foods, aren't they? Grapes. Yes. Well, our scripture today talks about fruit. But not this type of fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So it's the kind of way that we act when we ask Jesus into our lives and we ask him to forgive our sins and we follow him and then the Holy Spirit fills us. So let me ask you, if I were to tell you to go look at a fruit tree, what would you think grew on it? Money? No. Some people think money grows on trees, but it doesn't. Okay, so what were you going to say? Apples, oranges, strawberries on a plant, right? If we want to get technical. But when people see people that have the Holy Spirit in them, they expect to see certain actions in us if we have the Holy Spirit in us. So we're going to turn over our fruit and we're going to see what types of things people might see in us if we have the Holy Spirit in us. Love. That's a good thing. Patience. Goodness. Peace. Gentleness. faithfulness, joy, kindness, and self-control. These are all good things. Do we always do all these good things? Do we always show joy and love and kindness and patience? Not always. I don't even do that always. But sometimes you feel icky. If you don't show love or you don't show kindness, it kind of makes you feel icky, right? That might be the Holy Spirit saying, you're not showing the kind of gifts that I've given you, right? So we pray to God to help us use what he gives us. So I think we need to listen. Sometimes when we're having problems, pray for help to show love to our sister, our brother, or our parents, or our friends, or even people that may not treat us kindly. Wonderful video that Kathy had talked about showing kindness and joy, even though we may not feel like it. But we can, because we have the Holy Spirit in us, and God's powerful, and he can make us do big things that we don't even know that we're capable of doing, right? All right, so let's pray. You want to do an echo prayer? Okay. Heavenly Father. Thank you. Fill us with your Spirit. So that we will show the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Our New Testament reading today is from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 and 13 through 25. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But you, when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Please stand for the gospel reading, which is from Luke 9, verses 51 through 62. As the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. When James and John saw this, they said to Jesus, "Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. So they went on to another village. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." He said to another person, "Come, follow me." The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you. But first, let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." You may be seated.
Well, good morning. Thank you very much for letting me be a part of the message today. It's always an honor and a privilege to sit and to try to decipher what the Holy Spirit wants me to talk about. And it's interesting enough that for those of you that are keen on scriptures, there's a lot of meat in the gospel of reading today, but I'm not going to go there. Let's talk about some fruit. It's hot. It's summertime, and we're in the fruit kind of mind. So we'll talk a little bit about fruits of the Spirit. So did you know that people are watching how we live more than how they listen to what we say? In fact, if we want them to listen to what we have to say, we have to live in a way that is attractive to them. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it talks about, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law." These are the things that should mark the Christian life. In fact, what Paul is writing is that if you want to know if God is working in someone's life, then these are the things that will show you. The first characteristic, and we're going to travel through each one of these fruit today. So the first characteristic we want to talk about is love. It isn't surprising that most people think that Christians are supposed to be loving. After all, that is, Jesus said of all the commandments, the most important one was to love God and then love everybody else. And I'm paraphrasing there. But when we look at the word and how it was used here, I think it's important to see the entire meaning. The word is agape. It means to love or to cherish or to hold esteem, value. It means it's objective, and it imparts confidence when expressed without terror. I think that when we look at the word love, we can expect to see words like cherish and esteem. But I could not expect to think that we would see the word confidence. But isn't confidence part of the essence of the gospel? Think back to "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's from the book of Romans. You'll notice again that it's everyone, not some, not must, not if you're good enough, or if you commit your life to Christ, you make him the Lord of your life with a capital L, then you agree to let him be God, and you will be one of his people, and then you will be saved. That is something that you and I can have confidence in. But more than just salvation, his promises to work in you to give you strength and ability to be better and to do more than you ever think you could do on your own. God doesn't call you to do something unless he's going to give you the ability to do that. And that's confidence that you and I can do and use for every single day that we live. The sad thing is that for most people, when they think of Christianity, it stops right there at love. But that's just the beginning of Paul's list. The next is joy, and that means gladness of the heart. This kind of joy exists in any situation. The source of our joy, of our happiness, is God, and we get that despite whatever our current circumstances are. I'm not saying that you'll never be down, but by and large, we are joyful. And if we follow Christ, the Bible says that the Spirit will develop a joy in us that lasts regardless of the circumstances that we are in or currently surround us. The next fruit we're following today is peace. It denotes a state of undisturbed well-being. This is different than joy, but it's kind of similar. The best way I can describe it is to talk about a recent family member's funeral. I had no idea if my aunt had a relationship with Jesus. Since I knew she went to church here and there, she talked about helping in her community when she could, but I never had one of those conversations. You know those conversations when you really try to connect somebody to Christ? So when my aunt died, my initial tears were of fear because I didn't know if I'd ever see her again. But Jesus knew my heart, and the Holy Spirit comforted me when I heard another family member discuss how they had a chance to talk about Jesus and share their testimony with her. And at that time, my aunt accepted Jesus and dedicated her life to him. Instantly, a peace came over me that allowed me to continue and grieve, but it gave me hope of seeing her again. This is the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit. Next on our path is the fruit of patience. Patience is a quality of a person who has the power to avenge himself, yet refrains from doing so. In our text today, Luke can see that John and James had no patience for the people in the Samaritan village that would not welcome Jesus. Instead of showing patience as Jesus did, instead they wanted to rain down fire from heaven and burn them up, which is verse 54. Patience is hard, but necessary. Patience will save you from hurting someone else's feelings, and it'll help you better understand someone else's motives. The next fruit to follow is kindness. Kindness is defined as usefulness, a grace that pervades the whole nature. This is not just being kind sometimes. This is being kind in such a way that it's useful to the people around us. Kindness tells us to love in action and in truth. In other words, we're not supposed to just talk about helping others. We're supposed to actually do something to help them. This type of kindness, though, is not just about what we do for strangers or those in need. It's how we treat people all the time and what we say about each other. For an example, we can give many people food. We can have multiple mission drives for multiple projects. We can host vacation Bible schools and small group gatherings. But yet, if we harm one another with our words, we've missed a real important target. We need to be seeking to build each other up with our words and our actions together. That is what it is to be kind. On the path next is goodness. First, do you see where it is on the list? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. It's number 6. I'm afraid that people just don't seem to be very committed to the idea of goodness anymore. For all you baseball fans out there, love, joy, and peace, when they step up to the plate, man, they hit a home run. But goodness does just enough to get to single base. To many, goodness is just not considered important or even desirable today. I like to define goodness in this way: doing the right thing for the right reason. It's having a focus on purity, forgiveness, and generosity. Next, we come to faithfulness. It means obedience to the faith. It's faith in action. In other words, we just don't say what we believe in God. We live like we believe in God. The book of James, chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, give us a clear concept of what kindness is. And I quote, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, 'Goodbye,' or 'Have a good day,' 'Stay warm and eat well,' but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do?" So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless. In the same way, James writes that if you say you are a Christian, but you don't live like it, if you don't show up with your actions, then you aren't faithful. If you aren't faithful, then James says you don't have the type of faith that saves you. In other words, if your faith doesn't lead to action, then you aren't really believing in God and you are not truly committed to him. Faithfulness, living according to the faith, is what enables the next fruit, which is gentleness. Gentleness is that attitude of spirit by which we accept God's dealings with us as good and do not dispute or resist. That's a little different idea, isn't it? Until this point, we have looked at how we act towards and treat others and ourselves. But gentleness is dealing with our relationship with God directly. When we learn how to do that, how to be gentle before God, to accept what he sends our way and not fight either with him or with the people around us, then it brings us to our last fruit, self-control. This means one holding control or holding one in temperance. It's when we have learned to control ourselves in a situation rather than letting the situation control us. That is the process that we're all supposed to be going through. It's the journey that we are supposed to take together. You understand, we're all human. Only one person has ever been perfect, and that's Jesus himself. Our mission is to help each other get to this journey. We take this journey together, and when we see someone stumbling, our responsibility is not to judge them, it's to help them get to where they need to go. Sometimes we confront, sometimes we encourage. All of the time, we are to love one another. Notice that what came first. Love is not all that we are about to do, but it's the first thing that we do. The final thought I'd like to leave for you today is that when God begins to work on a person, sometimes it takes a while for what is happening on the inside to show up on the outside. Kind of like Emily's description of springtime, you know the fruit's going to be there, it just hasn't quite gotten there yet. Life with Christ is the process of him making us more like him. Following the fruit, seeing where the Holy Spirit is taking you. I ask all of us today to surrender ourselves to him, to allow him to use us, our gifts and our talents, to serve this church better, our community better, and our world better. We need to give him authority to grow the fruit inside of us so that we in turn will share the fruit with others and grow the kingdom of God. Amen. Since we live by the Spirit, let us go forth to be guided by the Spirit. Love God and love your neighbor in all you do. Amen.